Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday, third hour, and talking some college football. Our man Peter Burns from ESPN and the SEC Network joining us now. Peter, what's up? How you doing?
This has been the longest year of a week ever, boys. And holy hell. I mean, my goodness. I buckle up. It's been an interesting 72 hours. I mean, it's as wild of a wild of storylines as I've covered here, you know, since we launched the network back in 2014.
Oh, the Lane train never disappoints, right?
Thoughts. I mean, the content is king. I mean, he knows how to do it. Like, he's going to burn the place down one way or another and pick up somewhere up, and now it's down in Baton Rouge.
The thing that I really want to know about is, was the dog real? Like, because now there's all this stuff about Juice not even being his dog, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, the dog's real. It's not an AI dog. We've seen the dog. Now, whether or not it was actually Lane Kiffin, I do not believe that to be the case, which I was on hold a couple minutes ago, right before you guys had me on, and I'm thinking, I'm like, I mean, you can't go wrong just getting a dog as a mascot, right? Like,
sure.
It worked for Lane. I mean, everybody loves Kirk Herbstreit, Peter, his dog, and they get to fly private all the time. Like, I got to get myself a dog. Like, to hell with the agent. You get me. I get myself a dog. I got something going good for me in my life.
You have the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever and get a dog and name it Kirk.
It just be like, because every time it'd be like, hey, coming up on College Game Day, Peter and Kurt. And I was like, oh man, what my life could have been.
Okay, so let's look at it from you're an LSU guy, like, so is this the right move for them? I mean, I don't blame Lane for taking the job. I think he could have stayed in Oxford and been, you know, had statues and done whatever, but going to LSU, he's got the resources that he can win a national championship. Now he's got 4 years to do it, most likely. But do you think it's the right fit for the Tigers?
I mean, I think it's the only fit for the Tigers. And again, if when you're talking about this as in the vacuum of for LSU, who needed a head coach after Brian Kelly, what else was out there? Like, what else was going to get the fan base fired up? What else was going to address the issues you had as far as the offensive woes that Brian Kelly had over the last couple of years, especially when the defense got a lot better, which was arguably grabbing one of the most brilliant offensive minds we've seen in college football in a long time, in Lane Kiffin. And once they decided that they were going to go down that path, they burned the boats. I mean, we need to be financially responsible. We don't give a damn what the governor talked about investigating Jimmy Sexton or these new wave contracts. I mean, guys, y'all realize, and I know y'all know the details and see about it, Lane got such a good job at LSU or such a good contract that not only is he making Kirby Smart money, but also, depending how far Ole Miss goes, LSU is going to pay the Ole Miss incentives for the college football playoff to Lane Kiffin. LSU is going to do that. Like, and that's part of Jimmy Sexton saying, how desperate are you? Well, make this happen. And sure enough, they got their guy.
Yeah, I mean, that is crazy. Do you agree with the decision, though, that Keith Carter made to not let him finish the season and coach the playoff?
1,000%. I mean, again, I think a lot of these things, people keep going back and forth in the gray area. I think a lot of things can be true, right? It could be true that it's a home run hire for LSU, who gave them basically everything that Lane and his people wanted. It could be the right spot for Keith Carter to say, hey, man, like, we're not going to act as we're not little brother to you. You know, that's a rival, and I'm not going to let you be an infomercial for LSU, all while being in the college football playoff and saying that's not good enough. Like, that can't fly. And also, I think another thing that can be true, the college football calendar is kind of screwed up because we're making these decisions.
Yep.
So, you know, there's not just one culprit. It's just a perfect storm. And this could have happened last year, guys, but there wasn't any big coaching changes in the SEC. In fact, zero. And now all of it comes to a head. And now we just see it with the biggest firestorm of college football and the biggest social media guy that stirs it up in a frenzy in Lane Kiffin.
It's been fantastic. Peter Burns with the SEC Network's on with us. I texted Chase. I was like, we got to get Peter Burns on. I mean, you're in the nerve center of the SEC Network where all this is going on. Listen, if anybody ever questions passion of SEC football in the South, have them roll the videotape of the mom at the airport with her newborn in her arms cussing at Lane Kiffin getting on the plane. I'm telling you, it just means more, right, Peter?
I mean, again, that's wild. I mean, it's like, you know, the one finger salutes on the way out of Oxford into everybody wanting to say that he's the next, you know, it's like, Julius Caesar returning back to Rome or something like that when he got to Baton Rouge. There was going to be a parade. And, you know, I mean, again, like, it's Lane knows exactly what he's doing and stirring the pot. And I'll be honest with you, like, Lane just needs to stop playing footsie and trying to, you know, bring in his narrative of what happened in Ole Miss. Just go full villain. Just
right.
Like, yep. The bridge is already burned. Go full Hulk Hogan when he went NWO and just be the bad dude. And who cares, right? I mean, like, he doesn't care, obviously. And so stop trying to care what other people think and just go win ball games. And if you're going to pay him that money, and I said it and you guys talked about it, let's say 4 or 5 years. I think in my expectations for Lane, for this to work with everything that's gone down in a 4-year period, he needs to be in the college football playoffs in 3 of those years and needs to win a title in at least one. Needs to win at least one of these titles in the next 4 seasons for this to be kind of worth everything LSU's doing for it.
You may disagree with this. I don't know. But I think he's already winning at LSU because he's not Brian Kelly. Because I just think there's so many people that didn't like Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, so the bar was set low right there from the opening part of my family and the cultural fit. I mean, and you got to understand, in Louisiana, we don't have a lot of nice things, but we love chaos, buddy. Like, that's what we love. This Cajun Game of Thrones is like all, I mean, like, the sloppier it can get, the better. And listen, in Louisiana, they don't care about Florida. I mean, like, they're happy. They're dancing on Florida's grave right now because they sit there and go, not only did we beat you on the field this year, we beat you off the field for the Lane Kiffin Bachelor Rose. And then on the flip side of it, they love the fact that Lane was basically trying to burn Oxford down on the way out.
Great. Here's a more important question, Peter. Will you come to Nashville in 2 weeks when we have the Diego Pavia Heisman Trophy Parade?
I'm all in. You look at the numbers, and it's ridiculous. I mean, listen, Jeremiah Love, a great player for Notre Dame, but they also got Jadarian Price, who could put up some numbers as well, too. Julian Sand, good quarterback, but they sure as hell haven't played anybody. Fernando Mendoza, solid, but he's still got 1,000 less total yards than what Diego has. And if you look at Pavia, you can't tell the story of college football in the year of 2025 and not look at it be Diego Pavia. He's everything of what this sport personifies of saying, I'm going to take a perennial, I mean, you know, low-performing team and turn them into a college football playoff contending squad and one that's completely changed the trajectory of that university. I mean, again, I've covered a lot of football in my days, and now I'm sounding old as hell, but Diego Pavia is right there as in my top three is my favorite players of all time in college football.
Amazing. What is reason he won't win it?
I think there's going to be old school that thought he was brash and think a little bit too much and then get punched drunk on, oh, it's Ohio State, maybe the number one team in the country, and look at Mendoza and what they've done. But go back and look at who the hell has anybody in the Big Ten played. I mean, that conference has gotten so big and so laughable that there's only really 3 teams that are going to be in the college football playoff. I mean, they're running basically a Ponzi scheme on the rest of their television dollars right now that they don't have a whole hell of a lot. And so Pavia has played a much better schedule. He's put up better numbers, and he means more to just the college football landscape of it right now.
I agree. He's not the quarterback at Vandy. They're probably 6-6. But, Peter, to a larger degree, he goes into Neyland. Georgia needed overtime to beat UT.
Built
probably should have lost that game, right?
Built to ass. I mean, he absolutely crushed them. Like, and that's the rival. Like, how much of your time? Well, you got to throw out rivalry games. And, yeah, you know, it's Neyland. It's one of the top 5 places to play. And I don't disagree with that. And Diego made him their little brother for the night, and it could have gotten even worse. I mean, Diego Pavia should win the Heisman full stop, and I love the story, but I still think, and what's going to be unfortunate for him is I think some people will say, hey, listen, you weren't classy or something. They'll see the shiesty mask, and they'll see him kind of just his bravado, But at the same time, if you watch him in his post-game press conference too, he gives all the credit to his teammates, talks about, you know, his faith and whatnot. And again, it's one of the best stories I've ever had to cover in college football.
You want a full-scale meltdown. If a Vanderbilt player wins a Heisman Trophy before a University of Tennessee player does – meltdown. I'm telling you, meltdown.
Well, I mean, Peyton did get screwed back in the day, but that's a whole different story. But yes, I totally agree with that. And now the question is have you built enough of this offense and showed this to where it's a five-star recruit might want to go to Georgia and all of a sudden he flips to Vanderbilt? That's when you're talking about seismic changes, and that does not happen unless Diego Pavia is found at New Mexico State, which is a credit to Clark Lea and that coaching staff.
How much now has, you know, I mean, you've been doing this a long time. Has your view of Vanderbilt changed? And do you believe that they can sustain this years down the road?
As long as that offense looks like that, and I think that's why Clark, it was so imperative that he re-signed, because I think he can speak to the heartbeat that is. And I mean, think about that right now. Kirby does a great job being in Athens. He's not going anywhere because he's all in on Georgia football. That's where he plays. Same thing with Clark. He can sell that. But I think that's why it's important to have Tim Beck and this offense look like that, because that's where people want to go. And why the hell would you not want to live in Nashville, one of the cities, you know, best cities in the United States? I was laughed at 4 or 5 years ago when the job came open, and I said that I thought this was one of the top 10 jobs in the country, because that was right when NIL started to hit. That's when Nashville was booming, and I didn't think there was that expectation level that comes with an LSU or with a Florida. So you could set your own, you know, record-breaking performances, and that's what we've seen right now, and they've got it rolling.
Well, and I think, too, and you know this, is that it's been everybody above the football program, the ones that always stood in the way, the chancellor's on board, the AD's on board, like the entire athletic department is on board, and you're seeing that through the other sports. I mean, Tim Corbin's had baseball, you know, in the upper echelon for 20 years now, but basketball is getting in on it. Women's basketball is getting in on it. And then obviously football. If they keep that up, then they can play in the SEC, finally.
You had to be cool, right? And for a while, it was always, hey, man, it's the private university. Tim Corbin runs a really good squad. And that's a credit to Candace Story Lee as well, too, behind the scenes of tapping into that. And when if you got guys, you know, Theo Vaughn and even Manziel and those guys, like Vanderbilt football is cool. And it's been a long time, if ever, that we saw that. And so now is it sustainable? And it will be. I'm a firm believer that this is not a, hey, you had a good run and it's a flash in the pan. Like, it has an opportunity to go on a run, and that's great for all of college football.
Talking to Peter Burns from the SEC Network. Peter, right now, the best team in the SEC is?
Great question. I still think it's Georgia. I mean, we'll see them in Atlanta once again. And just – I think they're just consistent and they're battle scarred, right? I mean, like, there's guys. I mean, look at A&M. A&M didn't play a lot of the tougher, you know, schedule of the SEC, and they went into Austin and they got punked a little bit. And I look at I look at Georgia, who's had to deal with Alabama, and yeah, they did fall, but they went toe to toe with them. But then, you know, they went into Neyland and won that game the way they've done. And then they've got this – they're like the grizzled old veteran that returns from the front line and be like, bro, like, it's real. And I just still – and it's painful to say as an LSU fan, but, man, Kirby just finds ways to kind of continuously get it done.
What is going to make John Summerall different from Billy Napier at Florida?
Ooh.
Just the demeanor. It's a great question. But, I mean, the fact of – I mean, he had his post-game press conference, and I hate the win the post-game press – or the pre – you know, the first introductory press conference BS, right? Like, yeah. Who the hell cares if you win the press conference? Win the damn games. But he had a great moment where he talked about, listen, sometimes I take a job and my friends are upset with me because I don't hire my friends. And he goes, sometimes that's just not a fit. And I think that's his demeanor is night and day different from Billy Napier. Billy Napier, you couldn't tell if he won the lottery or his dog died, right? Like, it was the same thing. And that's where Florida fans got upset. We're like, dude, get fired up. And you're going to see that out of Summerall. And I'll be honest with you, had LSU somehow not got Lane Kiffin, I would have been 1,000% okay with Summerall, because I felt like it would have been all football and not, social media stuff. But I'll be honest with you, I am excited for the LSU Lane Kiffin connection. It's gonna be good for business, boys.
That's right. Probably a question you're not gonna get asked, but I'm gonna ask you anyway. How do we best remember Mark Stoops at Kentucky?
A guy that, led him to what? I had Cash Daniel, his former linebacker, on my show this morning, and he says, man, what, 8 straight years they went to a bowl game when we had divisions? There was a lot of time where we talked about, hey, if they beat Georgia, they'd probably go to Atlanta. So it just kind of ran its course. So ultimately, I think he kind of put Kentucky on the map to a certain extent, and now I think that time at sunset, and I love the hiring of Will Stein, a guy that's going to keep Cutter Bowley there, who loves Kentucky. This guy has Kentucky roots. And so, it's going to be a little bit of a niche, and a younger generational coach, I think, has a chance to cut through. Now, what that looks like in success, hell, boys, I don't know. But I do like the idea that they went with that a really young up-and-comer and gave him a shot.
It's funny, Peter, about expectations and everything. I have really close friends who are Gamecock fans who in August love Beamer and right now can't stand him. It's just, a season can turn you on your heels.
Well, and Lane talked about that, right? Lane talked about that going, hey, you get one loss, you're out of the top 10. 2 losses, you're out of the top 25. 3 losses, they want to fire you. And that's why I'm so interested on this last thing about, timing is everything, right? Because if you think about it, had Kentucky fired Mark Stoops last year, they probably would have gotten John Summerall as the head coach. And go back even further, in Florida, had Florida fired Billy Napier last year and not this year, Lane Kiffin would be the coach in Gainesville.
Wow.
And he wouldn't be in LSU. So, the butterfly effect of just these, athletic directors and the tough choices they have to make goes to show you. I think Alex Golish, the Auburn head coach, was headed to Arkansas until the dominoes fell. And so everybody had to kind of play this musical chairs and find a way to figure out where they were going to make $7 million a year at.
Peter, appreciate the time as always, my friend. We will talk to you soon.
Later, boys.
See ya. Peter Burns joining us from ESPN and the SEC Network. Always enjoy talking with him. We'll react to some of that. Coming up next, it's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5 The Game.